For the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culture presented podcast over 40 years of playing PlayStation and 10 plus years that games meaning blind much. Thank you for joining us in this special conversation. Pretty sure it's like 12 now.
Probably.
Yeah.
Anywho, this PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those you choose. But if you want to take part in future conversations with us, come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Now, Max, it looks like you and I had some background creativity fun. Like, I don't think you can kind of see it in the crop, but like, I've put up the phone panels again, so it's kind of reminiscent of the old studio, but in a one-person version. Which was fun. I did that like after episode 300 for some reason. I could have done it like, I don't know, fucking like 100 episodes ago. But I took advantage of my time off and did it. You've got some shelves behind you now with assorted shit in it. Your face is very red all of a sudden.
Oh yeah, I totally have my other screen on, my bad. it's playing fucking Netflix notifications. Sorry. Braille would have just kicked on.
That's right. Well, that's one thing I've noticed as well. I need to get some sort of like cam, face light. I know you've got a big ring light for yourself, but like, because I've got the lights back there, I've got the room lights, and they kind of make everything else glow. But the problem that I'm having is my face is matching whatever's on my screen, and hence the green hue or the red hue. If I can get a little light that just sits right up, probably there, of just there, and that comes in there. And makes and illuminates my face, I think would be sold. That's what I've thought about this week.
Nice.
As you can tell, I'm quite ready to go to work. I've already got things to do.
You start a new job this week, don't you?
I do. I start on Tuesday. So I fly out Tuesday morning up to Sydney for a couple of days. You get excited. Yeah, and I come back Friday, which should be pretty cool. Very scared, excited, and nervous all at the same time. Should be cool.
So how often will you be flying up to Sydney?
Yeah, once a month, once every 6 weeks, something like that.
Yep. For a prolonged period, or is it just like that? Will there be day trips, weekend trips?
I don't think any weekend trips, but it'll be at least a couple days during the week, I think, is sort of the go. So probably 3 days is probably the go. But who knows at this point? It could be anything. Let's wait and see. Wait and see. But no, it's exciting. Like, it's one of those things where, like, I understand, you know, people are like, oh man, travel with your job, isn't that cool? Like, yeah, I guess in principle it kind of is. But, like, it also kind of won't be, because it's, like, I'm... Obviously, my first priority is for me to take my PlayStation with me. Pardon me, so I can play the games that we got to review or whatever.
But, like, or, hotel Wi-Fi.
Oh, I'm not playing the hotel. I'm not using no hotel Wi-Fi. Let's download it before I go. I don't need games to use the internet. But if I need to, I can get some internet prep so I can play with my boy. So I can still, you know, we can still play our games together, even though I'm in the state, because that's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, like, if I don't do that, like, I don't watch TV, so I'm not going to log into my Netflix on some random fucking TV in a hotel. Plus, it will yell at me anyway. Stupid Netflix rules.
You know. No, you can do that. You can set up a one-time password for travels.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's too much effort. So, like, oh, I'll take the PlayStation with me. I'll play some cool games. Like, because where am I hanging out? I'm hanging out in... What's it called? There's a place. Chatswood. And I don't know. Dick in Chatswood. So, I was going to... go there.
He says like he knows dick in New South Wales.
Yeah, I don't know dick in New South Wales. Like, all I know is it's like half hour from the airport. It's going to be an expensive as shit Uber. But work will pay for it, so that's exciting. But yeah, so I'll just go, like, I'll do my day job, go back to the hotel and just play games. It's probably my plan, you know?
Cool.
Yeah. What about yourself? How's your week been?
Yeah, I've had my mum down for the week, so my sleep pattern's like shot again, but that's all right.
Because you've had more of it?
No, not at all. But it's been good. It's been good. I don't get to see her very often, so it was good to have her down. She helped a lot. Our house is basically set up now. Everything's unpacked. Yeah. Everything's
ready to go. I can see you've got a hallway runner down there as well, which is nice.
Yeah, so it's feeling like home now.
That's good.
Feeling like home now.
And it is your home. You own it. Exciting.
Yeah, I put some holes in the wall today. It was great.
Yeah. And you have to feel like regret it. Like, yeah, I'm going to run some cable. I'm going to punch a hole in the wall.
Yeah, had a friend come over and climbed in the roof for me and fed some cable through the wall for me to grab. And we installed some new network points in the house. Good fun.
Yeah.
My big 30 meter long Cat 6 cable that's been with me since the last house got cut up today.
Like destroyed.
No, it's the cable that's now in the roof of the walls. Oh, clever. I just cut it down to size because I did 30 minutes. I thought
like your wife would have got real shitty at that cable. I'm like, this is never coming back. I'm going to demolish it right now.
Old Faithful's in the roof now.
Nice. Good. That's good repurpose, man. That's
supports us in a different way.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it was with you before. It's still with you now. It's quite nice.
Had a house-ish warming party yesterday.
You did invite me, but I was somewhere else.
Yep. Apparently, I had bed plans.
No, it's had a family thing. Surprised.
We had lots of people here.
Oh yeah,
it was a bit claustrophobic.
Oh,
there were kids everywhere.
Oh yeah, I've been chaos on
all. So yeah, and because this room doesn't have a fucking door on it, I have to be mindful of all the fucking kids running around grabbing shit off the shelves and touching all my nonsense. But they were pretty good most of the time. They stayed outside jumping on the trampoline.
Nice.
So wasn't too bad.
Absolute success.
But other than that, it's been a pretty chill week.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, the big question, you know, now you've got this little space where you're hanging out in your own little nook. You're playing games up in that bitch?
Yeah, so I've been playing one game and pretty much one game only. Been playing Diablo 4.
Yeah, no, it's a surprise of literally no one.
I was provided a code for Elder Scrolls Online Necron, the new DLC. We got that through Keymailer. I have claimed it, and I haven't had a chance to look at it yet because I'm trying to work out how to do it because we were provided a Steam key, but I've purchased all of the other things
the shit through Bethesda.
Just through Bethesda, so I normally don't use Steam as my launcher. So my Steam account is linked to my Bethesda account, so hopefully it's just going to play nicely. But I haven't jumped into it yet. Diablo is kind of still taking up most of my time.
Well, how are you finding it? Like, obviously, you touched upon it a little bit last week, but you didn't really have a lot of time with it.
Oh, I've dabbled with a few characters now. I have finished the main campaign.
Yeah.
I have unlocked World Tier 4, which is essentially Hell difficulty.
Jesus.
So the changes made to this game versus the last few, you don't replay the campaign once you... to up your world tier multiple times. You just they have the end game in Diablo 4 is dungeons, and they have these things that they refer to as capstone dungeons, which are they're a little bit more difficult than all the rest, and once you beat that, it unlocks the next world tier. So the first one is at level 50, and then the next one's at level 70 or 75. So my main character is the sorcerer. I just hit level 70. And the other two characters are level 50 and level 10. So my socks, my main, I've just been farming out the nightmare dungeons, which is how you upgrade all your glyphs, all your extra abilities, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The game's fun. The loot and loop cycle of the gameplay loop is exactly the same as any other Diablo game. You're just essentially farming for that gear to get the best item in each slot to make yourself more powerful. And it's I spent 3 hours running the same dungeon back to back over and over and over again just to farm levels.
That's a commitment to the bit.
And it's like a 30-second dungeon. So it's 30 seconds, go back to main menu, go back in, do it again. Fun. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, you'd hope so if you're doing it like that. I'm
really enjoying it.
If you weren't, I'd be worried as to why you were doing that.
Now, granted, I am playing with like 8 other people at the same time. Although you can only have parties of 4. We're all kind of in 2 separate parties. We're all in Discord together, all chatting, we're all bullshitting. It's kind of been this great... I don't have to think too much about the game. It's one of those games where I can kind of just sit here and zone out. Like, I'll be watching Netflix or something as I'm aimlessly or mindlessly farming a dungeon or doing any of that. The cutscenes in the game for the cinematics for the campaign were a bit hit and miss. There was one, funnily enough, right at the very back end of the game, which was just incredible. The rest were kind of like, they're fine. But yeah, it's been really good. I think on the back end of their whole announcement around Diablo Immortal and then to Diablo 4, I kind of think they've saved themselves a little bit. This game is tight. Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's good. I'm glad you're getting a fucking ton out of it. Like, if you, in order to like grind and like, and even just the social experience, because like, are you, as you talked about, like a big part of what you love in games is that social experience. To be able to like play this, like, sadly not in one giant squad, but in 2 smaller squads is still better than.
It's been good. Yeah, it's been great.
That's awesome, man. That's lovely.
What about you? What have you been playing this week? Oh
man,
You know what? Hang on. Before you get into it, there was one other game that I played this week.
Oh yeah.
I played Bus Simulator 21.
Oh, you've jumped on the simulators, because I've been playing some this week to the surprise of no one.
So it turns out I suck at sim games.
Oh, yeah?
So you start off and you pick your bus. So I picked my bus. I picked the bus that could hold the most people. Smart. My thought being, can hold the most people, therefore I can charge the most money, therefore I can make the most money. Well, I lost like $50,000 just leaving the fucking car park because I smashed the fuck up out of the bus. And then I went, this game's dumb, and uninstalled it.
Well, it's kind of like, I love my simulator games, but in the same vein, like I played Lawnmower Simulator.
I think funnily enough, it took longer. I played it longer than it took me to download the game, and then I cracked the shits and deleted it again.
But yeah, I played Lawnmower Simulator, and like it was not fun. And that's like, yeah, you know, the lawn needs to be like X amount of millimeters tall. I'm like, fuck that! Like that's way too much.
Yeah.
We're like the gas station simulator, which I have been playing to the surprise of fucking no one. You know, I'm getting pretty good at that game now. There's no late game. You just kind of keep going until it stops, I guess.
It's just a late game.
Yeah, I'm just playing more of it.
The end game is really here now.
Yeah, I'm hitting that real end part where I'm like, this such demand. Well, no, like I know there's still a lot because like I know there's more room for my workshop to expand, to the gas station overall. There's a car wash area out the back, which I haven't touched upon yet. There's a bunch of things I haven't done. But so this week I did go and spend some time with a good friend of the show, Ethan, over at Tag Mods, and putting the groundwork down to build my new PC. So we talked about, you know, with my in-between jobs right now, I did get a bit of a payout at my last job. So as a result, I'm upgrading my 9-year-old PC into something better. So in order to get into the spirit of that, because I have no fucking idea what I'm doing, I did spend a bit of time with PC Building Simulator. Just to be like, well, let's re-kick that part of my brain that knows about how PCs work. That game's fun. As it is. Like, in the early stages of any good simulator game, except for yours, apparently, are like, they're fun. It's a good fun to kick in. You go, oh, yeah, okay, oh, this part and that part and that. And the second you start opening more parts, it gets more complicated. You're like, why the fuck did I agree to this? But no, that was pretty good. You know, it's just like, hey, build PCs, you know, make them, you know, fit X amount benchmark and or whatever, blow dust out of sarsol, whatever you got to do. That was fun. It's another thing that did come out, because we will talk about the Summer Game Fest as well this week, but the one thing that came out of it and that caught my attention, and I'm surprised you haven't actually played it.
I have. I know exactly what you're about to say, and I have played it.
Good, because over the Summer Game Fest, we'll talk about later, they released the demo for Life of P, which is this...
Lies of P.
Lies of P? What I call it?
Lies. Not life. Lies.
Fuck. Lies of P. Where it's this kind of like steampunk meets... And what's the Bloodborne aesthetic? That one? Whatever that is.
Old Victorian.
Old Victorian, fucking creepy mixed steampunk, all wrapped around this retelling of Pinocchio's.
Yeah, so basically the story is that robots have...
I say it wrong on purpose.
Yeah. Robots have essentially taken over Skynet 1. And
like big puppets, like marionette-y sort of like...
The only one that doesn't seem to be an evil dickwad is Pinocchio, apparently.
Because he's a real boy.
Almost. Apparently the gimmick mechanic is that the more you lie, the more robotic you become. Or is it the other way around?
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I know you were keen for this because it's apparently very Soulsborne. Update, it's entirely fucking Soulsborne. It is, if you told me this was just a different Bloodborne / Dark Souls game, I'd believe you because everything about it. It's like the UI is the same. The buttons are the same. The design is the same. Like everything about it's fucking Dark Souls, except you have a robo arm like Sekiro.
Look, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
look, admittedly, it's probably the smartest thing they could have done in that you think about like the Surge or anyone that tried to rip like the Soulsborne aesthetic. Like, they tried to change it and, like, improve on it, quote-unquote. That's fucking made it worse. So, at least with Lies of P, they're like, we're just going to do exactly Dark Souls and / Bloodborne / Sekiro. And it works. I had a ton of fun with it. I liked it a lot. I didn't beat the final boss because I got to him. I got about halfway through his health. And then he punched my face in. And then I was like, I'm just going to run through all the enemies, get back to the boss. That was a bad idea because the second I got cornered... like horde of fucking Muppets wrecked me. I was like, no, fuck this game.
So I haven't played it to fruition. I have not gotten to the boss yet. I've kind of just been dicking around. Kelly said, so what did you pick? So at the start of the game, you get to pick a choice of three roles, which essentially is picking your starter weapon.
Yeah.
Which one did you pick?
I went balanced.
Do you remember what path that was? I picked the path of the bastard. Which I think was the middle one.
Yeah, because there was the idea was like balance, endurance, and strength, I think is like So it's like one is like being agile, one is being strong, one is in the middle. I went the one in the middle, whatever that one was.
Yeah.
Only because I'm very aware that I don't know how to play these games. So I'm going to go balance, seems like the safest bet. I think the bastard may have been the strength one, I think.
I enjoyed my time with it. I think I played it for like 20 minutes, half an hour. I enjoyed it more than I did Steel Rising, which is another one of those games that I played at the back end of last year, I want to say. And although I enjoyed my time with that, this seems a little bit more polished than that was. And it comes out real soon. Yeah. It comes out like September.
That would be part of it. Like, for me, because we talk about this along the line, like, I can't, like, it's like Elden Ring. I like the design of Elden Ring, but it's poo. But like the open world was poo for me. This looks like Bloodborne, and I loved Bloodborne. I wasn't very good at it, but I loved it. I spent a lot of time with it. For me, that is.
Mm.
And this has that same look and feel. I'm like, oh yeah, give me more of that. Then the story's interesting, and like the steampunkiness is interesting. And because it's so like essentially a modded version of Dark Souls, like it plays really well. Which is dope. And like just exploring the world and walking around and seeing like jacked up stagecoaches, dead horses everywhere, a bunch of these marionette looking fucking things. it's awesome.
I love it. I love it at the very start. You're like on a train. It's like, oh, you can't see very well. Pick up this fucking cricket in a jar.
You gotta find Jiminy. I don't remember.
Yeah. I'm like, that's cool. So they're really leaning heavily on that as well.
And there's a couple of little things that just that reduce some of the intensity of it, in that if you have these little pulse vials, I think they call them, which is essentially your
Estus flask.
Yeah, your Estus flask is from the Dark Souls. Except the difference here is, rather than having it, like, once you've used them up, here, you get to, like, you know, if you drop down to one, you start punching an enemy, and then
you can recharge the battery. Recharges, so
you at least get one back, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. We haven't dropped frames like crazy over here on the YouTube, but on the Twitter, by the way. It's all right, it'll fix itself. So yeah, like that is a thing I quite like, in that, like, mm-hmm. it's hard, but it's not like decimatingly hard.
Yeah,
at least for me.
With it only being a demo, there doesn't seem to be a difficulty setting. Whether or not that's something they include at launch, we don't know.
I have a feeling like they won't, because if it is such intentionally a carbon copy of Dark Souls in a lot of way, I wouldn't imagine they're going to put that in there.
For sure.
But yeah, like I did have to find myself, like, you know, paying attention to, like, the patterns and stuff, which was fun. And the boss was like, he gives you no room to breathe, except for when he does this, like, one land move, and he kind of, like, you know, belly flops the ground. You walk up, go, I get like two stabs in, and you gotta back the fuck up. And, like, I think to my benefit, having recently been playing Star Wars Jedi Survivor, it kind of front loaded me a little bit.
Yeah.
Not to the extent, because obviously Jedi Survivor is a lot more forgiving in a lot of ways, and I did have I just took on one of the mid bosses, and I had to drop the difficulty down because it was just giving me no room. I was like, well, I just want to continue the story. Like, give me the thing I need to, like, fucking get past it. Like, cool, done. Then bump the difficulty back up, continue with the story. So I imagine that might be a choking point here with this one as well, because I do hope to probably pick this up or reach out to someone and see what we can do, because it does look quite interesting. And if they're open to, like, telling the story and not doing the weird Dark Souls, the story's in the world, like, fuck off. Like, tell me the story. But like, obviously, you being the more Soulsborne aficionado.
I mean, I've been excited for this since, I think it was last year when they announced it or showed off the first teaser. I'm like, I like Pinocchio. I like that story. I like Souls-like games. This is kind of cool. Mm. Seemed like a really cool concept to use in that lion gimmick. Seems like it could be interesting, depending on how heavily they lean into it and how much freedom of choice the player has.
Yeah, because I guess similar to Sekiro, where you have every time you die, like, people get fucking the plague or something. It's kind of like an extension of that, I guess. You know?
Maybe.
Other than that, there is only one other game that I've been playing outside of my usual, like, WWE 2K23 and stuff, was Everdream Valley. So Everdream Valley is another one of those slice of life farming simulators. It dropped last week or the week before. So it's from Untold Tales, and it's really quite adorable. It's like it's 3D, so it's kind of like, I'm trying to think of an example. It's kind of like the newer Story of Seasons, but not as chibi. And it's like, as of yet, I haven't really experienced any combat, which is cool. It's like early days. It's, you know, establishing the farm. It has the similar tropes as, but with a twist. So normally the trope is your grandfather or grandparent has died. They've inherited you the farm. Go to the farm, rebuild it, bring it up to, you know, its former glory. The difference here is you go there to be with your grandparents. They're alive. They're on the farm, and you're there to help them out, to help rebuild. Because, like, they have been unwell, so they've just come out of a hospital, and you're like, well, I'm going to help them do up the farm, because your parents kind of dodge you. They have to go back to the city because they're working. So you go around.
Classic parents
is dodging, dropping you on the grandparents. It's expected.
They've just gotten out of hospital.
Yeah, just got out of hospital too. Like, oh my god, you're slightly better. Fuck you. Here's my child. Here's our child. So like, I'm just like, you know, repairing fences and hunting down all the lost animals. Because rather than having to go buy the animals, at least initially, like, you know, as they'd been in hospital, the apparently there's been parties that have happened on their farm because you got to pick up all these cans and bottles and shit. And like a bunch of the fences had wrecked, which means all the sheep got out, which means like all the chickens have got out. So like, you just have to, part of the mission structure, because it's mission structured rather than just go like you normally would in, say, your Stardew Valley or your Story of Seasons. It's like you talk to your grandmother, your grandfather. They're the ones that give you missions. Like, hey, go, you know, find the cow. Like, you get a dog and, you know, you train the dog and the dog will sniff out stuff. So you go, well, go find me the cow. Go find the rooster. You know, whatever. You learn how to do this, that. And, like, just by interacting with the world, it'll initiate new quests. Like, I picked up some random sheep shit and it was like, you can make fertilizer now. I'm like, ew, because I touched the poo? That's interesting. And, like, it's like, I'm still very close into the proximity of my farm. I've not gone adventuring too hard yet. But, you know, there's like, there looks to be a lot of cool potential of just like fun things to do. Oh, like, yeah. What's that do? And then, like, it all comes together to what should be a pretty cool, like, overall package of a farming game. But I was playing just before I came in here. Probably going to play a bit more of it when I finish. So I'm sure I'll have more to say over the coming week or so.
Nice.
Yeah, that's very good. But anyway, that's enough of what we've been playing. Let's get into the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
Well, this week in PlayStation, we had a firmware update. And you can all probably guess what the patch notes were. We've improved the system, software, performance, stability. But there was a bonus. Apparently, they've also improved the messages and the usability on some screens. Not all screens, just some screens. I have no idea what that means, but...
Okay. So, neither you or I use messages. You use party chat.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Like, cool. You know, I'm glad they did this because I was noticing that my system was just hot garbage, so...
Just needed some performance and stability updates.
Yeah, that's good to know. But anyway... We just had the Summer Game Fest. We're about to talk about it. We had the PlayStation Showcase the week before that. Gamescom is right around the corner. However, PlayStation and Sony, in what appears to be a consistent trend, will not be attending Gamescom this year. So the news comes via German industry website Gamesmarkt. So Gamesmarkt, market without the E, which reports the market.
Mocked.
Games mocked. That works.
You don't have to say it angrily.
No, you do. It's part of the language. The beauty of the German language is its aggressiveness. Like, the French sounds sexy because it's all like flowy and cursive. Where German is angry. A lot of fucking hard K's and T's and shit. That's how it works. You can tell them. Someone can tell you that they love you in German, and it just seems fucking angry. It's why Rammstein is doing such a good job, because they could sing about anything, and it sounds fucking metal. But yeah, so Gamesmarkt reports the Japanese giant has no plans to attend Cologne, an exhibit on the show floor. It doesn't mean it'll have zero presence, however, as third parties will likely demo games on the PS5, and it may still have some scraps information about Jeff Keighley's Opening Night Live. But last year, for example, it did reveal at Opening Night Live the DualSense Edge. So it's possible we might see something, but they're not going to be there in a prominent fashion, very similar to, like, even some of Game First. They really kind of weren't there. They were there, but they really kind of weren't.
They're not going to get up and say their bit.
Yeah, they're not going to get all up in their business. Like,
PlayStation will not provide 2 cents for Gamescom.
Yeah, and the show floor stuff makes sense. PlayStation haven't really done a show floor anywhere in years.
Yeah.
Even pre-COVID. Like, that's not going to go. So, yeah. Do you, like, off the back of the showcase, how are you reading this?
They're still keeping everything fucking close to their chest. Yeah. And I think they're going to continue to do so for quite some time, especially at least until all this Blizzard Microsoft merger stuff crumbles or goes through.
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
Let's talk about some PlayStation Studios documentary.
I love a good documentary, Max.
I do love a good doco. So PlayStation Studios and Kojima Productions have announced a documentary film named Hideo Kojima Connecting Worlds, which promises to take you, quote, on a journey into the creative mind of the most iconic video game creator in the world, end quote. And the film appears to revolve around the establishment of Kojima's own independent studio and the creation of Death Stranding. There was a trailer, and in the interviews with some of the cast members from Death Stranding, including Guillermo del Toro. Guillermo. We also see,
No, you got to do the accent. You got to do it. Guillermo del Toro. You got to do it.
That seems wrong. It seems wrong. we also see lots of luxurious slow motion shots of Kojima himself. You know, he's just running down the beach in the sand. You know, hair swept in the
him
wind.
Holding his own hand through a field.
Him running towards himself in a slow embrace, as well as some behind-the-scenes footage from Inside Kojima Productions itself. Oh. There is no release date attached to the film quite yet, but the trailer notes that it's, quote, coming soon. The blurb reads, quote, wildly regarded as the first auteur of video games, this visually captivating documentary gives a rare insight into Hideo Kojima's creative process as he launches his own independent studio. Featuring contributions from visionary artists such as Guillermo del Toro, Nicholas Winding, Grimes, George Miller, Norman Reedus, Woodkid,
Churches
with a V, and many others, this thought film explores the power and potential of video games as an art form through the work of an influential talent revered by millions worldwide. Someone just blew smoke straight up Kojima's ass.
I'm pretty confident this is just Kojima jerking for an hour and a half to a picture of Kojima jerking himself. Like, this is probably one of the most self-masturbatory things possible in the games industry. And like, don't get me wrong, I say that like I'm not going to watch the whole
I'm gonna watch the shit out of that.
I'm gonna watch so much of it because obviously I am excited
because you realized a few years ago that you were in fact a Kojima fan, not a Metal Gear fan.
Yeah, which I'm like, I want to see how his fucking brain works. Like, not so much that I listen to his podcast or whatever, but like, it's still intriguing. Like, I would argue that he is one of the greatest auteurs within the game industry. Like, so that sentence alone is correct. But
it's a bit self-pandering.
I don't think he's quite this level of like, he's not quite that.
He's not documentary worthy, is what you're saying?
Wow. Everything's documentary worthy to someone. Like, it would be fascinating, like, behind the scenes of Death Stranding, that would be cool. And, like, all I imagine, and I made this exact same joke in an episode of the DualSense podcast, which I featured on this week, everyone go check him out, where it'll
shameless
just...
Shameless plug.
Yeah, it'll just cut to, like, Norman Reedus being like, remember this one time, it's like, Norman Reedus like, man, I wish that I could kiss Kojima. I love Kojima so much. And then it cuts to, like, you know, Jeff Keighley being like, I totally did kiss Kojima once. It was amazing. You know? And, like, that's what it could be. It's just, like, everyone's just, like, professing their love for this man. And, like, yeah, he's pretty amazing. But, like, I don't know. This feels like the potential to be some, like, legit, high-quality, cult-level jerkfest, and I can't wait.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, can't wait. But look, Death Stranding, even though we thought they would be, did not show up at the Summer Game Fest, nor did a bunch of other things. But instead, that's going to the list of the things that did come up. Now, Max, you've brought in only the things that are connected to PlayStation in this list, which I appreciate. Because, like, I did get up, I live streamed it at 5 in the morning. I did take a bunch of notes. I have listed everything that appeared. The show was... because you watched it alongside me.
Yes.
Before we break it into its parts, what did you think?
I kind of liked it more than PlayStation Showcase.
Me too.
And the other thing was like, I've seen a lot of this before.
Yeah. Like, it was weird. Like, it was interesting. Like, there was nothing that was like, bah, well, at least for me. But, I know but, there was some stuff for that, you.
I think the big takeaway was, and like, I'll just lead into it because it's the top game on the list, because these are not in order. But fucking Marvel Spider-Man 2 got a release date at Summer Games Fest.
Why
the fuck didn't they just do that at their own showcase?
Because maybe they committed to like doing Summer Game Fest, but didn't have anything to show, and they went, ah, oh, shit, we've got to give them something. That's my only, like, the only theory that I have as to why they would go to this show and like announce something but not announce something, and like something that should have been done like 4 days before, would be because they thought they were going to go with one thing, but they couldn't, so they had to give them this. The only thing I can think of. Like, maybe it was meant to be factions, right? Or something. And then they had, for whatever reason, they pulled it and went, oh, well, let's give them the date. Because, like, the way that showcase was set up, it's the only thing. So, Marvel Spider-Man 2 is coming on October 20th. With the release, with the pre-orders live as of the 16th of June, 2023, 10 a.m. local Australian time on your retailer of choice. There is an incredible 19-inch Venom statue. So it's Venom with like yeeting fucking Miles and Peter, and I want it so fucking bad. The problem that I have is that my flight back from Sydney lands at 9:50. So I might have to pull alternate resources to get me one of those pre-orders.
That's still on your phone?
Well, it depends. Well, it depends. Like, if I've landed, like, if my flight's delayed, I'm rooted.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
I might have to find some resource, but yeah, they had the old creative director, the one that did like 16 interviews last week. He came out and just, because he doesn't want to stop talking, apparently. Yeah, and they dropped the release date, and then he kind of skedaddled, and then PlayStation Blog put up all the collector's editions. October 20 is a little bit later than we anticipated. Like, everyone was sort of thinking around September, but obviously moving into October, they step away from the likes of what's it called? Starfield. And it's kind of closing in on PlayStation's latest. They like to release their games at the back end of the year.
Yeah.
There's no Call of Duty this year, is there?
There certainly is.
There is? Is it next year there is?
Yeah. Well, it was supposed to be this year. But there is. There is always a Call of Duty. There will always be a Call of Duty.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I remember there being like a dead year, and I assumed it was this one.
It was supposed to be this year.
Yeah. But one of the other things that came out super early on was Mortal Kombat 1. So Ed Boon came out, and he looked nothing like I remember. Basically, because in my head, Ed Boon is not that guy. But we saw more gameplay, and we also saw the idea of cameo characters. It's very similar to that of Marvel vs. Capcom, as you let me know in the chat. But to me, it makes me think of Dragon Ball FighterZ, where like you can bring these secondary characters to come in and throw a couple bosses and then bounce out. Looks like
apparently the cameo characters can also do fucking fatalities at the end.
True. Look, I'm on the record of my disinterest in Mortal Kombat simply because for Mortal Kombat 11, it was well reported that a number of people in NetherRealm Studio actually sort of developed PTSD by the amount of carnage they had to look at, whether it be almost watching car crashes to see how like fucking bones break so they can replicate them in fatalities. I just can't endorse that. It just, for me, it's not a thing. And, like, you know, the game looked fine. Like, it looked exactly like 11, but the backgrounds had more detail. That was it. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, the last game looked great anyway, so it's not surprising that it hasn't changed drastically here. I'm interested to see where they take the story now that they've essentially rebooted the entire...
Yeah, because that's what they said. They essentially confirmed that it's a soft reboot, that someone at the back end of the 11 created a new timeline.
Yeah, so Liu Kang basically became the fire god in the last game and kind of reset and restarted the timeline.
Yeah.
So this is the new timeline where he is essentially the elder god instead of Raiden.
Yeah.
And they're restarting the Mortal Kombat timeline. which is cool.
Yeah, after 11 games,
it's kind of the only way they could move forward from the ending of that last game.
Yep. Next up, we did also get some more footage of Alan Wake 2. So we did get to see some straight up gameplay. So it looked very Resident Evil, like 2 remake especially, which was great. So it was very much about setting up like an emotional establishment and sort of going, okay, cool. You know, we're in a forest. There's like a lot of foliage. The first thing I noticed was the floor mapping was a little bit flat. Like there wasn't a lot of leaves. Like it looked like it had a lot of leaves, but there wasn't a lot of 3D texture to the ground. But like there was a lot of foliage. The buildings look great. And we get to see a lot of people with that black swirly shit around them again, like the first one. And some guy with
Reference the lake that's also referenced in Control.
Oh, I did not pick that up. Well, good spot, Max.
Because they are a shared universe.
They are. Oh, I kind of want... Because I never went and did the AWE DLC.
Aww.
Well, because I had on PS5. And like, I'm not... the save
didn't transfer. You missed my joke, fuck you.
Oh, good on you, dickhead. yeah, in order to play the DLC on my PS5, it's like, well, you have to do the campaign again because your save can't transfer. I'm like, I platinumed that game. I am not, like, it's a long game.
It is a long game. It's a great game, but it's
my game of the year that year, I think.
Yeah.
It's pretty close. No, it was second because Death Stranding was number one. Well, you're getting heckled off camera.
No, my wife just walked down the car and was like, bleh.
But yeah, how did it look for you?
I'm sold. I was such a huge fan of the first game, and to be getting more stories in that world.
She's still burping.
I'm all for it.
Yeah. A game that looks utter poo hole, and I had no interest in it at all. But I know my kids are gonna love it. It's gonna frustrate me.
I'm actually kind of keen for this.
Sonic Superstars.
And you 2D Sonic game? Hell yeah.
Well, the last one was Sonic Mania, I guess, so...
I think the next game looked kind of iffy.
Interesting, okay, because this is one I was kind of okay on. So, the interesting enough, like, Summer Game Fest opened with Prince of Persia The Lost Crown. So, it was a short trailer that more will be coming at Ubisoft Forward, which is Tuesday night, our time. So, you wake up Wednesday morning to all this news.
Yep.
And it's very reminiscent of the original Prince of Persia, but kind of not. It's a lot more zoomed in.
And it has the artistic styling of Immortals Phoenix Rising.
Yeah, because I remember when you and I watched it. Don't get me
wrong, I love that game. But like, I don't know if it fits a Prince of Persia.
Yeah, it's this weird line where like everyone shits on Ubisoft releasing the same game over and over again, and they give us something different, and we went, ew, why? But because it's kind of not something different. It's Prince of Persia, but with the aesthetic of Immortals. It's like, well, all you've done is combine two games that don't match. And like, there's a shot that in post footage of them like grabbing one of those little tear things, you know, little jewel thingies that we saw in Sands of Time. So like, is this what the team that were making Sands of Time worked on instead? Because what's happened in the Sands of Time?
Oh, no, nothing was ever happening with Sands of Time.
You think it was just a big work the whole time?
It's a big, big ruse.
And I'm glad they did this instead. We saw Sega for the second time with Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name. So this did leak prior to the showcase, with it coming up on the PlayStation Store or in some region. I always liked the idea of, well, these were what called the Yakuza franchise. It's now Like a Dragon. I wish I could play them.
They're definitely not your style of game. But they
look fucking silly, and I like silly.
They are very silly. Well, some aren't. Some, I'm pretty sure some are fairly serious. Yeah. But, yeah. So that comes out 9th of November. They've been banging these out.
Yeah.
It feels like a Dragon only came out months ago.
The difference is, so Yakuza 7 Like a Dragon, that was semi-recent. And I believe, maybe not this one, But I know that we got so many so quickly because they were porting the Japanese ones to us.
Yeah.
Hence why they came out so quick. But like, in what was a theme of fucking anime weeby shit, they showed off this thing called Sandland, which was from the creator of Dragon Ball Z. It's based on a manga, which is essentially anime, like manga Mad Max.
Yeah, I didn't. It wasn't for me.
Like, in terms of its style, like, it looks like old DB, which is great if you like it. Not for me. Probably not going to play it, like, in the fucking slightest. But it exists.
Next up, we had Lies of P, which we discussed earlier. So we'll just kind of skip over that. Again, launching 19th of September. There is a demo currently live now. Mm-hmm. After that, we got more Immortals of Avium. They rolled out the voice actor for the protagonist, Jack. He came out and had a quick chat. We saw some new gameplay beats that we hadn't seen before.
Also, for Alan Wake, we did get Sam Lake come out, the creative director of Remedy. Yes. And he, like, did jack shit, and he was, like, by far the most charismatic person on the entire show. I don't know how. He just did it. It just works.
Excuse me. I think there was someone a little bit more charismatic later down in this list.
Yeah.
How dare you? I'm pretty sure Immortals comes out later this month.
Yeah, it's like this month or next. It's like super
and
close.
I think it's been shown at almost every showcase now because it was at PlayStation last week.
It's really getting really pushed really hard. Yeah. However, I think this is the one trailer that won me over. Not that the other ones mm-hmm. didn't, but the other ones, they were edited in such a way they made it seem really rapid pace. It was like so much on the screen at any given time. It was kind of too much for me to take on. But here, it felt like it slowed down and we got to see some of like what was like the actual moment-to-moment gameplay. Like I feel like the previous edits were like, you know, let's show all the flashiness of it all. Where here we saw what looked like straight gameplay and it was a little bit slowed down, it was switching between powers, how you would use it, and da-da-da. There was some grappling hooking, some swinging, so that looked pretty cool. Like to me, I think this is a better reflection of what the game will actually be slash is. And that makes me go, yes, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Then we also got Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2, which we already knew about. However, they demonstrated it's got 3-player co-op and is coming out in the US winter. Or is it our winter?
I don't know. I would imagine US winter generally when they...
Hang on. What did I write?
Because that would put it our summer, which is end of year.
I wrote it down. Yeah, winter 23. So that's US winter 23. So back end of this year for us. It looks great. I kind of want to play it because I really enjoyed Warhammer 40K on Space Marine on the PS3 and I wouldn't mind playing it some more. Then we got Honkai. Actually, hang on. Is this the one that I wrote? Hang on. Yep. All right. So here are my notes for Honkai Star Rail. You ready, Max? You ready? There it is right there. Can you read that for me? You got my handwriting's gross. I'll read it. I hate this. All of this. Everything about this game, I fucking wanted to murder myself. Because it hit every fucking gross anime weeb trope in games ever. It had like the weirdly pitched up voices. Everyone's talking like this. And it's full of shitty catch phrases like, eat this. And they punch them. Like, it was fucking garbage. Especially on what got announced later in the show. So it's not about me hating on JRPG specifically. Because what we saw later was a well better looking game. And incredibly better voiced game. Like, it was actually treated with any sort of fucking legitimate respect, where like this looked like fucking garbage, and like I'm sure it made some little neckbeard happy, but like the game looked bad.
So this was the trailer that announced that it was coming to PlayStation 5 soon. The game is obviously already out on PC, and it's the new gacha game from Quaverse.
Like the PS5 wasn't there in a lot, so don't be this the reason why it was there.
Next up, we've got Toxic Commando.
No, it's actually called John Carpenter's Toxic Commando, Max. That was his full name.
Is it? Yeah. Was it John Carpenter's Toxic? Okay, fine. John Carpenter's Toxic Commando. It's a co-op shooter. That's all I got from it.
It's a zombie co-op shooter made by the famous movie dude, John Carpenter. Yeah.
Street Fighter 6 is fighting dinosaurs in the Exoprimal crossover event. Actually, don't think that's true, but there is an Exoprimal crossover event.
Yeah, you get like a Robo Ryu in there, which is pretty cool.
I believe there were skins for Ryu, Blanca, and someone else.
Whether it's Street Fighter going into Exoprimal, which I think is what they're setting up, so it's not the other way.
Okay. Next up, Dead by Daylight had a showing.
So Dead by Daylight, like,
apparently...
Recently announced these interesting crossovers. They're like, Iron Maiden's getting involved, and they're bringing in their fucking mascot-y dude, whose name escapes me right now.
Eddie.
You got Slipknot are doing something as well. But to make it even better, we heard about this previously, Nick fucking Cage.
He's apparently poor now and needs the money.
Yeah, he was like, he's going to be a playable character. We're like, what, like a villain? Like, no, he's a survivor. And then he came out and talked about it. Nick Cage came out and legitimately treated it with respect. Like, he didn't go in and didn't phone it in. He was like, yeah, no, I'm excited to give this a bill.
One of my family members plays this game. And I'm like, yeah, fuck yeah, I'll do it. He's like, I play myself, but more grizzly and survivory. I'm like, okay.
It was great.
Keen.
Yeah, I'll give
it. That comes out 25th of July. The old Nick Cage Survivor DLC. This one got you, Damp. Yeah, so Remnant 2 was shown.
Why is the big game that you're excited for not on here?
Because I don't think it's... apparently, it wasn't on the list that I saw of coming to PlayStation.
Okay, we'll throw it at the end.
We can throw it. I know what it is. Yeah. Don't worry. So Remnant 2 was shown off. This is the co-op looter shooter. It got a new trailer. I played the crap out of the previous Remnant title, Remnant from Ashes. It was a PlayStation Plus game
a couple of months ago, maybe longer ago.
It's awesome. It's like a more... I want to say it's like Borderlands, but not cel-shaded. It's like more gritty and apocalyptic-y, which is hilarious considering Borderlands is like very apocalyptic-y and Mad Max-y, but... this is cool. I'm super keen for this. This comes out in a couple of months from memory. Super keen. Hopefully it's a three-player co-op game, so hopefully the two people I played with last time are keen to get it again.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those, it's got the looting, it's got the shooting, it's got the co-op, it's got all the ticks that Max likes.
Nice.
So
next up was Banisher's Ghost of New Eden. I don't remember that at all.
I also don't remember it at all.
But it was there.
Probably gameplay trailer.
Next up was Under the Waves, which I also don't remember at all.
That was the game that you said made you nervous. It was the...
It was the Subnautica Under the Water DP one. I was like, fuck that noise, I'm out.
Comes out the 29th of August.
Yeah, and then we got a teaser trailer, essentially, like a little bit of screen, a little bit of grab for Twisted Metal. So what we saw is Anthony Mackie get punched in the face, which I know you enjoyed. Mm-hmm. We got to see Samoa Joe, ex-WWE, ex-Ring of Honor, now AEW. Oh, no, he's still Ring of Honor. Ex-AEW, Ring of Honor wrestler, demonstrating his, like, physicality, because we had a very haggard-looking Will Arnett, set it up. And essentially... it was kind of just to show like a little bit of character. They sing the thong song at some point. I don't know what the fuck that was.
Yeah, it did not make me any... It didn't make me
want to watch the show more, but at least I went, oh man, they look the part. That's pretty cool. Like Samoa Joe, they look like Sweet Tooth. Like Sweet Tooth, I remember Sweet Tooth being more jacked than fat, but like it looks good. Like the attire looks good. But for a game that's about fucking cars shooting and blowing up each other, so I'm really glad they showed part of the show where they aren't in a car blowing each other up. Success.
And lastly, which you alluded to, that's not on the fucking list, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, so after all those like little
big fucking honking trailer.
Yeah, these little questiony thingies, and they're like, oh, does it have music? Well, yeah, it does. Because, funny, coincidentally, the back end of Summer Game Fest, they dropped it, and I'm pretty sure Max...
He's like, you know, we got one more surprise. It's going to wrap out the show. It's fucking huge. I'm like, it's going to be Death Stranding 2. Can't wait.
But yeah, he's blowing it up like he's about to, like, Kojima's about to come out and, like, toss his salad. But
But it turns out it was just more Final Fantasy. And then they back ended it with, hey guys, guess what? It's on fucking two discs. And that kind of blew my mind a little bit. How big is this download going to be if we fucking go digital only?
Yeah, two discs. So, like, I understand, like, it's this weird kind of mix where they're pulling it out like it's this big brag, but also means, like, the first game was unnecessarily large. Like, just compress your shit, fucking Square Enix.
Compress your shit.
Like, it's not a selling point.
Yeah, so it was originally, I believe, the last time we saw it, the tag was winter.
Yeah.
It is now early 2024.
Yes, so we discussed this last week, I think, where, like, winter 2023 was December through to February.
So I'm guessing it's going to be a
it's January.
It's going to be in that Horizon slot. It's going to be new, fucking Valentine's Day.
Yeah. There so that they've altered that, like, that that window.
Okay, they've altered that perception to give people a more realistic.
Yeah, they've gone realistically. It's winter 2023. However, it's actually early 2024.
It's the back end of 2020. It's the back end of winter, so it'll be 2024.
Yeah. Which is a smarter call. Now, look, it looks fantastic. It does look good. I was saying before, after seeing, you know, fucking Honokai trailer or rail, whatever the fuck it's called, like, this looks compelling. Yes, it looked Japanesey as shit, but it looks great. It, like, the, you know, the gameplay looked fantastic. The voice acting was impeccable.
But I think that's the difference, where this is an actual story-driven game and the other game's a fucking gusher money-making.
No, but, like, the difference is, it's like, they are both inspired by the same sort of anime-y characters, like big hair, big swords, all that nonsense.
Sure, but they're not pandering to a certain subset of fans who are willing to spend or are more likely to spend money constantly on a game as opposed to those willing to buy a game once.
Yeah, but for
like they're trying to get two different things out of it, even if they're using the same source material for inspiration.
But yeah, the other one hit every fucking stereotype that I hate about that genre. Even here, I go on the record, I poo on Final Fantasy, but, like, I looked at this and I went, I might have to take my statement back, because after looking at that
I think you said this. I think you said the same thing when Remake came out, because
I enjoyed Remake.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I hate fucking anime. But obviously for you, like you give you a moment of gush. That's just...
Look, it's... In a year where I'm already getting a Final Fantasy game, to know a Final Fantasy game is so fucking close, right behind it, it's a good year to be Max.
It is a good Max year, that is most certainly true. However, which one of us had Rebirth on our list? I bet it was me. Just my luck, eh? Hang on. No, you did!
Yeah, I did. I was positive it was coming out December.
Well, let's have a quick look at this now. So for me, I got Resident Evil 4 Remake, correct. Star Wars Jedi Survivor, correct. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, nah. Hollow Knight Silksong, not yet. Destiny 2 Lightfall, did and it was poo. Forsaken, it did and it was poo. AEW Fight Forever comes out this year. It comes out this month, actually. It's looking pretty good. Atomic Heart came out and it was poo. You, on the other hand, Max, you got Marvel Spider-Man 2, we know is coming, hopefully, at the back end of this year. Hogwarts Legacy came out, did well. Diablo 4 came out, did well. Dead Space Remake came out, did incredibly well. Final Fantasy 16, which comes out in a couple weeks, probably going to do really well. Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth, disappointing. Street Fighter 6 came out and did exceptionally well. Dead Island 2 came out and did fine. You're winning. I think you're winning.
Doing all right.
You may win. I have a feeling that you're going to win. All right, let's get... now you do the quick bits?
Quick bitties. So, Alan Wake 2 and Like a Dragon will be digital-only releases. Yeah, no care. Physical.
Yeah. See, look, I understand. Like, because I was like, for me, like, you know, you and I have fucking beautiful internet.
Is physical media dead? No.
No. It's just, once again, they can ensure that the best quality version of that game is shipped. Simple as that.
Persona 5 Tactica launches 17th of November with Persona 3 Reloaded coming early 2024. These were leaked ahead of the announcement.
Oh, it's that P5T that we saw.
Yeah. Yep.
Just get your heart going?
Persona 3 Reloaded, sure. I still don't know what Persona 5 Tactica is.
Don't you like tactic games, though?
I do like tactic games.
Don't you like Persona 5, though?
I mean, yeah, but I don't know what it is yet. Yeah, that's a good point. So... Tekken 8 closed beta sign up is currently open.
Yeah, I signed up for it. I'm keen. Tekken 8, hell's yeah.
Friday the 13th, the game will be no longer for sale as of the 31st of December this year as the license is getting revoked.
Yeah, so essentially like they had a licensing agreement and they're like, yeah, it's running out. So you can, they're dropping the game to like $5 US and each DLC is like $1.
It's fucking totally worth it.
Yeah, apparently the server's going to be running to at least into next year sometime. Yeah. So even though they have to pull it from shelves at the end of the year, at least it's going to be available elsewhere, which is pretty exciting.
As we discussed before, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth to ship on two discs. And lastly, two Diablo 4 expansions are currently already in the works.
Man, you are having a max year.
Oh yeah, it's been good. Been good. New house, lots of video games. Baby on the way. Everything's coming up max.
Yeah. Everything's coming up max house. But here are the new games that are coming out in this next week. On 13th of June, we get Danmaku Ultimate 3 on your PS4, Dordogne, D-O-R-D-O-G-N-E, Dordogne, PS5, PS4, the Grey Hill Incident on PS5. On the 14th of June, we get Brave Soldier Invasion of Cyborgs, PS5, PS4, Far World Pioneers, PS5, PS4. 15th of June, we get Crime Boss Rock A City. Fuck yeah. Coming in PS5, Fall of Porcupine, PS5, PS4. Layers of Fear, coming in PS5. Pixel Ripped, 1978, PSVR 2. Steel Assault, PS5, PS4. And on the 16th of June, you get Alchemic Cutie, PS5, PS4. F1 23, PS5, PS4, and Park Beyond PS5.
Right, totally forgot to mention also one of the other things at Gamescom was fucking Fortnite.
Oh,
now has fucking Transformers.
Oh, Game Fest. Yeah, that game is an absolute fever dream. It's fucking insane. I don't know how they work. But I want to play the living shit out of Crime Boss Rock A City, so hell's yes.
What is that? What is that?
It was like a very GTA sort of game. It's got like a bunch of weird celebrities voicing characters in it. It reviewed like asshole on PC. Still want to play it though.
Not a fan of Layers of Fear?
Nah, not really. I got an email about it. And that was about it. Fair. Anyways, that does bring us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for checking us out for episode 301.
Woo!
But that's been an absolute blast. Well, thank you so much. As we say each and every week, one of the most precious things we have in this world is time. So thank you so much for choosing to spend your time with us.
Well, everybody, as Ryan sits there awkwardly waiting as I refresh my Twitter page.
Wasting time.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 3 a.m. Fuck.
Whoa.
Hope it doesn't. This PlayStation podcast happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. podcast on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. But if you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and Twitter. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popculture. We can also record this show live where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/popcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, other assorted shit, without logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
Get some fucking talk people on Twitter.
No, that picture popped up on my screen. Apparently, the person who played Namor in Black Panther 2, apparently also currently accused of sexual assault, much like Kang. So Marvel's just picking... The comment was, Marvel's just making these movies look real believable by casting these real-life villains.
Nice.
Kind of made me chuckle a little bit.
Shit, we didn't throw any predictions down for the Xbox showcase. Ah, it's fine. But until next week, I'm Ryan Benson.
Fable. I'm Max Cooper.
He's Max Cooper, and that was for the players. The short answer is probably Forza. I doubt Fable will be there.
Nah, come on, man.
What?
Fable. This is the
The Perfect Dark game still won't be there. I really hope they do some cool shit, but I kind of don't think they will.
Avowed. I'm telling you, Elder Scrolls 6 was announced apparently 5 years ago this week. Surely that's going to show up.
Dude, with Starfield right around the corner, it's not happening.
The fuck's not? Starfield's done.
You're done. We're done. Bye.